Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read the first four verses of the chapter. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I want to preach this morning on the subject of children, obey your parents. But first, let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity that we have to come together and to fellowship around the Word of God. And I pray that as I preach this message this morning, that all of our young people would pay close attention and that they would see the importance of honoring their parents. And Lord, I pray that all of us would understand, all of us at least that are saved, that we are your children and that likewise we are to be obedient to thee in all things. And encourage us to do so this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we kind of took a step away from examining this book, at least on a verse-by-verse basis, and simply looked at a topical-type message, keeping the honey in the honeymoon. But prior to that, we were looking at the contents of chapter 5 and chapter 6. And, of course, chapter 5 and verse 18 gives us an admonishment to be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. And one of the indications that someone is filled with the Spirit is found in verse 21, where it says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." This is the fifth characteristic that is given of someone who is filled with the Spirit. And so again, just understand that submission is a sign of being filled with the Spirit of God. And the next few verses, including the last part of chapter 5 and the first part of chapter 6, deal with this topic of submission. And so it speaks of the husband and wife relationship and how the wife is to be in subjection to her own husband. It talks later on in chapter 6 about the master-servant relationship and how the servant is to obey his master. And then here in our text, it talks about the relationship between children and their parents. And it says that children are both to obey and to honor their parents. And this is what I want us to focus on this morning. We looked at it briefly in our previous messages, but I want to focus just this morning on the relationship that exists between children and parents. And we'll look at three basic things this morning. We'll look at the command that is given. We'll look at the motives for obeying the command. And then we'll make an application of this truth to all of our lives. Because the message really is not just for young people. Perhaps it's most applicable to young people, but it's not just for young people. And even if we're not a child ourselves, maybe we have children, or maybe we have grandchildren. And therefore, it's important for us to understand these precepts and these principles so that we can pass them on to our children and to our grandchildren. Because, and I'll emphasize this here in just a moment, but I believe it is vitally important that young people listen, obey, and honor their parents. Because if they're not able to do that, I believe it's very unlikely that they ever serve God in any significant way. unless they truly have a change of heart. And so let's look here at the command. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The command is simple enough to understand, but some find it much more difficult to obey it in a practical way. And I would note that this command is one that is given by God in the Old Testament, and not just in general, but it is actually one of the Ten Commandments. I think you all recognize that there's a lot more commandments in the Old Testament than ten. But God takes Ten Commandments, and with those commandments, He summarizes His moral code. Okay, so God takes all the commandments and all the instructions that are given in the Pentateuch, and He summarizes them with ten simple commandments. And one of those commandments is what we find in our text. Honor thy father and thy mother. And to me, that highlights just how significant and just how important this is to God. It's not just one of the commandments. It's one of God's top ten commandments, if you want to put it that way. So it's important to God. And He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, among some people, there's a little bit of confusion about what is meant by that statement, in the Lord. Some people might conclude that this means children are to obey their parents in the Lord, that is, if their parents are saved. But I think as you study the Bible, you'll find that God not only requires children to obey their saved parents, but He requires them to obey their parents even if they're not saved. Some people conclude that this phrase in the Lord means that children are to obey their parents so long as their instructions, their commandments, their guidelines are in harmony with the Scriptures. But as we'll see here in just a moment, a parent's commandments, a parent's rules don't always have to be based on a principle that's found in the Bible. And so I don't believe that that's a correct interpretation of this verse and of this phrase. Instead, what I think is meant when it says children are to obey their parents in the Lord, that they're to obey their parents just as they would God. And you'll recall that something similar was said to wives back in verse 22 of chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves and your own husbands as unto the Lord. Obey your husbands just as you would the Lord. And I think the same idea is trying to be conveyed to us here in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Verse number 2, you might think, is saying the same thing. But I do believe there is a slight difference between the commandment given in verse 2 and the commandment given in verse 1. Notice it says, honor thy father and mother. Now, obeying them can be one way that you honor your parents, but it's not the only way. This word that's translated honor here, the Greek word, is also translated value twice in Matthew chapter 27. And Matthew, that particular verse is actually quoting the Old Testament and how what Judas did was in fulfillment of that Old Testament passage. And it talks about the 30 pieces of silver that were given to Judas for betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it uses the word value twice in that passage. And that's the same Greek word that's translated honor here. So we could say that this commandment is instructing young people to value their parents. And so let me ask you a question. Do you value your parents? And you might ask, value them how? Well, do you value their love for you? Now, I know that in our day and age, not every parent is a good parent. And some parents are bad parents and don't exhibit a great deal of love and nurture towards their children. But for the most part, even unsaved parents, even carnal Christian parents, love their children and seek to do what is in their best interest. Well, do you love your parents simply for the fact that they took care of you? I mean, when you were young, when you were first born, your parents had to do everything for you. Bathe you, clothe you, feed you, change your diaper. They had to do everything. They had to get up in the middle of the night and take care of you. They had to hold you when you were crying. They had to spank you when you were bad. They had to drive you to this activity and to that activity. They paid for all your heat, for all your clothing, all your food, everything that you possessed. Do you value your parents for that? Because I believe they deserve your honor for having done all those things. Do you value them for their knowledge and their experience? You see, there is one sense that a child is to be obedient to their parents in because of a different reason than a wife is to be in subjection to her husband. You know, God gave the man dominion over the earth. He created woman to be his helper, his support mechanism. And that's one of the reasons she's to be in submission to him. It also appears to be part of the punishment for the fall and the woman's responsibility for the fall. But it's truly a matter of headship when it comes to husband and wives because, you know, most couples get married, they're about the same age. So if they've had about the same level of experience with living. But that's not true of children and parents. Usually parents have at least 20 more years experience living. And while experience doesn't always equate with wisdom, most of the time it does. And so for that reason, children should value the knowledge and the experience of their parents. You know, I heard somebody say at work this week, and if you have your ears open, you probably hear it about every week of your life as well, but that when young people get to a certain age, they think they know everything. And they say that that's how teenagers are. You know, they get to be teens, and they think that they know everything. Now, I don't think every young person is that way. I think if children are trained up in a godly manner, they don't be turned 13 or 15 or 17, whatever it is, and think that they know everything. I mean, they're always going to have, always going to go through those same type of, the word escapes me, but they're going to have those same type of experiences where they all of a sudden get a little bit independent. They all of a sudden realize that, you know, they're their own, you know, free will person. They can make up their own decision if they want. They can disagree with mom. They can disagree with dad. You know, when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, it doesn't even cross their mind that, you know, they could disagree with mom or mom or dad could be wrong, at least in most cases, you understand. I mean, you could tell your 5-year-old, go get this, and they just go get it. You know, but sometimes when young people get to be 15, they're like, go get it yourself. I know none of you are like that. At least I hope none of you are like that. But some young people are. I don't know what happens exactly, but again, just that spirit of individualism, independence comes into the heart of a young person and Sometimes they think they know everything. But really, does that make any sense? How could you be 15 years old? How could you be 17 years old and know everything? How could you know more than somebody who's 37? How would that even be possible? I mean, they say that a person really is not consciously aware until they're like 21. And I don't know what they mean by that exactly. But for me, it was much later in life, to tell you the truth. There was a lot of things I really didn't understand until I was 30. I've always said I'm a slow learner. It takes me longer to learn things. Maybe that caused me to live longer before the Lord takes me. But it doesn't even make sense that a 15, 17-year-old would know as much as a 35 or a 37-year-old. I mean, even look at your own siblings, your older siblings. Don't they usually know a little bit more than you know if you're not the oldest? Yes, most of the time. Do they usually know a little bit more about mom and dad and how to approach them than you do? Yes. Why? They've lived with them longer. Well, who do you think knows more about the world in general? You, who may have only been alive for 13 to 19 years, or mom and dad who have been living on this earth twice as long? Or how about grandma and grandpa who have been living on the earth three times as long? They must really know a lot. Do you value your parents? Do you value their wisdom and experience? You know, I've said before, when it comes to finding a spouse, young people would be wise to lean on their parents. They can see things that you just can't see. They've been around a lot more people. They know when someone is sincere many times and when they're insincere. They know when they're genuine and when they're just putting on a front. And so you'd be wise to lean on your parents and their wisdom when it comes to that decision, because you're not going to be able to be objective, probably because of the emotions that you have. But do you value your parents? That's what it means to honor your parents. Do you value them? Do you value them for their experience, their wisdom, and their love for you? Are your parents a treasure? You know, a lot of times people later on in life realize what a treasure their parents are. But unfortunately, many times their parents now are gone. And they wish that they could have them back. Well, don't make that mistake. Treasure your parents now. You know, one of the things that the Lord has taught me through the years is to listen to people who are older than I am. Even though I might not think that what they're saying makes sense, even though I might not be able to comprehend it, but listen to it and pay careful attention to it, because usually what they're thinking, the way they're feeling, and what they're expressing is the way I'm going to be feeling at some point in time in the future. And so if I can actually listen to what they're saying and put it into practice, I'll be that far ahead of everybody else in my maturing and such. And what I'm saying is, in regards to your parents, value them now while you have them, because you won't always have them. People, of course, when you're young, you don't understand this, but you hear people say all the time that, and I don't even know that I understand this experientially yet completely, but people say, boy, life is short. Life is short. And you don't understand that when you're 20. You really don't. You don't understand that life is short. Now, when I turned between 35 and 40 and realized that my life was half over, I started giving that more consideration. This is half over and I haven't done anything yet. and I better get busy serving the Lord. You know, some people say life is short, so you need to enjoy it while you can. Well, no, life is short, in a sense. So you better do all that you can for Jesus Christ right now. And you might not understand that completely, but if you have taken that lesson that your pastor has tried to teach you and you've put it into practice, and I believe many of you have, because you're already out soul winning, you're already reading your Bible through every year, you're already attending church faithfully, you're already giving and tithing, and you know there's going to come a point in your life when you're 35 and you're 40, and you're going to be thankful that you started doing those things a long time ago. Because now you all of a sudden realize that you're mortal, and that your life is going to come to a close, and it's going to come to an end. And when you stand before God, you're going to hope and pray that you've done something that will cause Him to be pleased with your life. But the command, what is the command? Obey your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Value them. Perceive them as a treasure that God has given to you. I see then two different motives here in our text for obeying and honoring your parents. The first one is found in verse number 1. It's that last phrase where it says, "For this is right." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I wish I could articulate just how significant this little phrase is. Not just in regards to obeying your parents, but in regards to everything in life. God says here, then here's something I want you to do. And I want you to do it because it's right. Because it's the right thing to do. And that kind of brings me back to a subject I've brought up multiple times here as of late, and that is, what defines what's right? What defines what's wrong? How do we know something's right? How do we know it's good? You know, it used to be that parents always taught their children to obey those who are in authority over you, to respect your elders, to respect your teachers, to respect other adults. Why? I believe that's a right thing to do, but I believe it because of what the Bible teaches. Why do some people think it's a right thing to do? I know not everybody believes that's right today. It's kind of fashionable to rebel against your government. It's kind of fashionable for parents to be on the side of their children rather than on the side of teachers, to be on the side of their children rather on the side of the coaches or the umpires, to be on the side of their children rather than on the side of anyone who's in authority. Police, pastors, or what have you. But think about that for a moment. You know, our theme this year at camp is going to be do right. But folks, we're living in a generation where you have to define the source for right and wrong, because nobody seems to recognize it. The source for right and wrong is the Bible. You know, there's been an outcry in the news here as of late about racist comments that were made by, supposed racist comments that were made by one of the NBA owners. I mean, it's gone crazy. And I find myself sitting back and thinking and understand, I think that racism is wrong, and that is judging someone simply by the color of their skin rather than the content of their character. I think that's wrong. I think we should love all peoples. I mean, God tells us to. And I'm grateful that I live in a day and age and in a country that's not racist. It's not. There may be certain individuals who are racist, but I'm thankful to be a part of a country and a group of people who isn't racist. I, I've said before, the graduating class ahead of me in high school, you know, nominated for the prom king, I think the one black man they had in their class. Never in my years in grade school and high school did I see racism on display. Everybody treated people the same, regardless of the color of their skin. I mean, this country elected a black president. This country is not racist. I'm glad about that. And look at what transpired when this NBA owner made these comments. It wasn't tolerated. But I find myself asking the question, why does the world consider racism wrong? I know why I do. Why do they? I mean, the world, a large percentage of it, has embraced the theory of evolution, which says that species have evolved into what we have today as mankind. Well, didn't even Hitler and others think that certain races were inferior to others? Well, wouldn't that make sense if you believed in the evolutionary process? That maybe some races hadn't evolved to the extent that others had? I know why racism is wrong. But why does the world think it's wrong? Because they don't have the Bible as their source of truth. Again, I just highlight that because of this phrase, for this is right. What is right? And who defines it? Well, God's the one who defines it, and He defines it for us in His Word. But you know, most people, before they do something, they want to know what they're going to get in return. People say, okay, you want me to obey my parent? And again, this is what happens to people as they mature in years. They all of a sudden begin asking the question, why? So you've taught your children, you obey me and do like I say. And you've taught them that since they were born till the time that they were 15, and I'm just picking that age arbitrarily because it's in the middle there of the teen years. But they're 15, and all of a sudden they're now asking themselves the question, why should I obey mom and dad? I'm smarter than they are, the young person thinks. I'm my own man. I can do what I want. Why? Why should I? And you know, if you haven't taught your children the why, that's probably when they're going to begin to rebel against you. Because you've not taught them the why. Because God said so. And because God knows best. Because it's right, as defined by the Word of God. But you know, God does go beyond that. He doesn't just say, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. But it also says in verse number 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's another reason why you should obey your parents. There's another reason why you should honor your parents, because there is a promise attached to that commandment. And it's talking about the promise that was attached to it all the way back in Exodus chapter 20. Because it says there, to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. God promises to you long life if you honor your parents. Again, this commandment is unlike many other commandments because of this promise. And this ought to be one of the things that motivates us to honor our parents. Look at some passages with me in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Look beginning at verse 20. says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." So it's basically saying the same thing as the commandments we find there in Ephesians 6. He says, "Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest," here's the consequences of obeying your parents. "It shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Boy, if you listen to your parents' instructions, they will help guide you, safely guide you in life. And I believe cause you to prosper. You know, I thought about some of the things that my parents taught me. And there's one main thing I would say that my dad taught me and my mom taught me in my life. My dad taught me to work hard. Not just by word of mouth, but by example. My dad always worked hard, and he always had my brother and I there with him, instructing us to work hard. When you're cold, to keep working. When you're tired, you keep working. And you know what? That has helped me tremendously in my life. In my mother's case, she taught me to be frugal. You know, when we did the grocery shopping and we all wanted to go to McDonald's, she's always said, "Why go to McDonald's when we got all this food in the back of the car?" She must have said that 100 times. Because like my kids, I was always, "Let's go to McDonald's." But the difference between my kids and myself, I never got to go to McDonald's. And my kids do. But she taught me to be frugal. And you know what? That stuck with me, and it has helped me tremendously in my life. Never owned a credit card other than, you know, get the Sears or Macy's one so that you can get the $15 off and then cut it up when it comes in the mail. Never used those. Because of the instruction that my mother gave me. My mother was truly one of those old-fashioned people who said, "You don't spend more than you make. Matter of fact, you spend less than you make, and you put some back in savings." And these things have helped me in my life. And I believe those two things that my mother and father taught me are rooted in the Scriptures. Now, not all commandments that parents give may be rooted in the Scriptures. I mean, the son might say, "Dad, where does it say in the Bible that I'm supposed to take out the trash?" The daughter may say, "Mom, where does it say that I'm supposed to weed the garden? I don't find that in the Scriptures." Well, you do find that in the Scriptures. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse number 8, it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." That includes taking out the trash and weeding the garden. The young person says, "But I don't find that there. I don't see it." Well, it doesn't specify what the commandments, what the rules, what the laws are. Whatever your parents tell you, do it. You know, the Bible even says that Jesus learned obedience. Jesus learned obedience. Experientially, by coming into this world and doing the will of the Father. And young people are to learn obedience, and the best place to learn it is in the home. So that when you mature and you come to age, you've already disciplined yourself in obeying those who are in authority over you, and it will become easy to obey God. But if you can't obey your parents, when you can see them and you can see their faces, what makes you think you're going to be able to obey God, whom you cannot see? You won't. In most cases, a child that won't obey their parents won't obey God. You see, it doesn't matter what the commands are. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. It just simply says, heart, listen to your father. And notice that last phrase, this is kind of why I chose this verse, and despise not thy mother when she is old. You know, God doesn't say, honor your father and your mother until you're 21 or until you're married. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, period. When they're young, when you're young, and when you're old. What are the consequences of not honoring your parents? Well, look at chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 20 and verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I don't know that I can completely explain that verse, but I know that if you curse your father or mother, bad things are going to happen. I know that much. I don't know exactly what it means that your lamp is going to be, let me find my verse again, put out in obscure darkness. Probably talking about hell. Also notice chapter 30 and verse 17. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's not positive either. You know, in Deuteronomy, and it's found in chapter 21, if a child would no longer respond to the chastening hand of their parents, the child was to be taken outside of the city and stoned. That's how serious God takes this. And you know what? This is how serious, as parents, we need to take obedience in the lives of our children. God considers it important for a reason. And I think it's because He knows that if children will not obey and honor their parents, they're going to grow up and be a menace to society. They're going to grow up and refuse to listen to God. So again, back in our text, what are the motivations for obeying our parents and honoring them? Because it's right. And also because there is a promise attached with it, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And I've kind of joked before, you know, about how this is true just in the physical realm, because parents say don't play in the street. Well, if you don't play in the street, you probably are going to prolong your life than if you did play in the street. When parents say eat your carrots, I don't know if carrots are good for you or not, but that's what they say. So if you eat your carrots, you're going to be healthy. You're going to live a long time, longer than if you didn't eat your carrots. That's what they say anyway. Parents say don't go carousing around. Well, you know, it's very likely that if you don't go carousing around, you're going to prolong your life. But I don't believe that's the sense in which this is talking about. I think it's talking about being prosperous in a spiritual way, being blessed of God for your obedience to your parents. But let's make an application of this, because I don't want this to all just be for our young people. As we read the Bible, we discover that all of us who are saved are the children of God, aren't we? He's our Father, and we're His child. And you know, He expects us to be obedient to Him. And as a child of God, that's the right thing to do. But not only is it the right thing to do, but do you know that God will prosper you spiritually if you walk in obedience to Him. And I don't know, in this dispensation, if God promises us long life, that is, long years here on the earth, if we honor and obey our parents. I don't know if that just applied to Old Testament Israel or if it's still intact today. If it is, it's probably more of a general principle than something that's true in every case. But maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe when children obey their parents, they do live long. Every time. But in the spiritual sense, and God being our Father and we being His children, I don't know that He blesses us in an earthly sense for being obedient to Him, but He sure does in an eternal sense. And if we'll obey God and understand obedience doesn't merit God's salvation, salvation is by grace alone through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by our good deeds. We're not saved by obeying God, unless it be obeying the gospel and repenting of our sin and trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. But once we're saved, if we will obey God, it will cause us to be blessed throughout all of eternity. Obedience is important. Obedience is important for children, but it's important for us adults as well. So I hope you young people especially will take heed to what the Bible says here, and that you'll obey your parents and that you'll honor them. That is, you'll value them for their love for you, for their wisdom, and their experience. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God, and thank You for this practical instruction that is given to us in the book of Ephesians. Lord, it's a very simple command, and the command is for children to obey their parents. But Lord, it becomes very difficult in the lives of some young people. Lord, I'm not exactly sure why. Perhaps it's this old sin nature that we have. But Lord, I pray that You'll help our young people to obey their parents and to honor them and to value them for their years of experience and wisdom and love. And Lord, for all of us who are saved, we understand that we are Your children, and help us to set a good example for our children by being obedient to Thee. So take the message this morning and use it for Thy glory, and use it for the benefit of Thy people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 58, I Gave My Life for Thee.